You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And we're going to continue our post-election day coverage and check in with one of our election media partners, El Tecolote, the Bay Area's longest-running bilingual newspaper. It covers areas with Spanish-speaking voters like East Palo Alto. And looking at last night's results, there have been some wins and some losses for local organizers in those communities, plus lots of conversation about the Latino vote. To break it down, I talked to El Tecolote's editor-in-chief, Alexis Terrazas, earlier today. Big question, the biggest question today. How are you? How are you doing?
Better than yesterday, I guess. You know, I was a nervous wreck, like I think a lot of us. You know, we're journalists, but I'm also a parent, a community member. So just trying to stay patient, you know, and deliver the best kind of clear news to our communities that have been relying on us for that.
Right. I mean, like you're saying, we've all been following media, social media all night this morning. What are you seeing or reading, hearing from people in the communities you're covering and that you follow?
We're a Latino newspaper, but we don't limit our scope just to Latino issues, right? So, I mean, there were many ballot propositions this year that were going to impact like a lot of like working class folks, right? Like Prop 22, for example, was the most expensive proposition in California state history. You know, we put out our voter guide and did a few pieces on it as well. But to see that it did, you know, pass, it was certainly, it felt like we've been hearing, it was a blow to a lot of like labor organizers and working right. class communities, right?
That was the proposition about app-based
exactly right.
drivers. Mm-hmm. They're staying independent contractors.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, but there were also, you know, some real, you know, we have to count our victories too, right? So we look at also the proposition that gave the right to parolees to vote, you know, so we count that, and as well as like Measure C, you know, in San Francisco. So I guess our motto at THECO is to like, okay, we have to document our defeats, but also count our victories, you know?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the progressive props on the state level that benefit kind of lower income communities and people of color mm-hmm. failed, like Prop 16 would have overturned the affirmative action ban, and Prop 21 would have expanded rent control. But then, at the local level, you mentioned earlier counting the wins, a lot of progressive props did pass, right? Yes, on police oversight. Yes, on affordable housing, services for the homeless. So what does that say to you that at a state level, a lot of the progressive props failed, but at a local level, they passed? A lot of them have passed.
I think we all kind of knew that these were propositions that we were hopeful about, you know, but wouldn't be entirely surprised if they didn't pass, you know. But what I've been really kind of, and I was reflecting on this last night as I was looking in the numbers and kind of feeling dejected too, as a dad, as a renter, you know, was that I've, in the last 4 years, I've really seen, you know, grassroots efforts and community really come together and step up. So my hope is that despite the outcomes, right, and that's at the national level and the real regional, local level that we have here, we have to continue to, you know, try to make as much change locally. So it's not necessarily surprising, you know, but I do feel that we are taking steps forward in the positive direction, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. You know, a big kind of thing that people were talking about since yesterday on the national level was the quote Latino vote.
Oh my God.
And Latino voters. And we heard a lot of conversation. I've been on Twitter since this morning, and so many people are talking about, you know, just talk to us. We're not a monolith. We know we're not a monolith.
I'm delighted you brought this up.
All of you people surprised that, you know, a group, you know, a part of the quote Latino vote went for Trump, you know.
Yeah.
For Trump, all this whole conversation, El Tecolote put out a Latino voter guide. It's like you're in the middle of this conversation. Of mm-hmm. course, Latinos are not a monolith.
No, not at all.
What are your thoughts on this whole conversation?
I love this question, Hannah. I really do, because it really hits home for me, right? Like, we put out our Latino voter guide, right? And we've been billing ourselves as a Latino newspaper since 1970. And our Latino voter guide is definitely from the San Francisco Latino perspective, right? And if you go to Texas and New Mexico and obviously in Florida, right? And I think this is where context really, really plays an important role, because to those who aren't from our communities, who might just kind of lump us all in together, they wouldn't have the context of, okay, maybe the Venezuelan and Cuban and some Nicaraguan folks who have fled, who were, you know, driven from their homelands after dictators, you know, fell, they'll vote a certain way. And they'll usually align themselves with, you know, right-wing politics. So it's always been a little frustrating for me to see, you know, all of us lumped together into this one voting block, right? Because in this country, in the context of the United States, you do have, and we, I don't know if we want to take this in a talk about race, but you know, Latinos aren't one race, as you know, right? We have a fair share of white Latinos, indigenous Latinos, Afro Latinos. So, so it's just been really fascinating to see, you know, and, it frustrating and fascinating to see how some of this stuff plays out.
It's really interesting. I get that too, because I come from a community, you know, I come from Arabic speaking communities, I come from Muslim communities, I come from African communities. All of those groups have heavy Trump support, and people don't get it. So for, you know, a lot of people are talking about, why don't you try to understand the nuances, right?
I definitely have a lot of feelings about that. And, you know, we saw with these uprisings, like, newsrooms having a reckoning, right? When, you know, when black men and women continue to get killed by police, whether on the street or in their own homes, it seemed like there was this reckoning happening in newsrooms, right, where they were addressing the lack of voices and diversity. And of course, when you have that, and Hannah, I'm sure you've been in mainstream newsrooms, I've been there too, and there is, a lot of the time, the leadership looks a certain way, and the narrative kind of prevails, right? So to your point, the fact that a lot of these major news outlets don't have that historical context leads to a lot of folks being surprised. And those of us, you know, who are in these communities, you know, are not, you know, so.
No.
I mean, you and I are journalists, so we see.
We're journalists, you know, and we're people of color. I mean, everybody I'm talking to from kind of communities of color that I know are not surprised. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
right.
You know, it's not a huge surprise to a lot of people.
No.
Which other people find surprising in and of itself that we're not surprised. And so if we come back to the local then, and El Tecolote, you know, your Latino voter guide, reaching out to communities here. Looking forward, you know, what is your newsroom going to be focused on, given what we do know and what we're still waiting for the results on? You know, like today, tomorrow, what are you guys working on?
I mean, honestly, we're just trying to, at this point, trying to gather as much accurate information as we speak. We have like a recap of our major props that we're trying to go live with on our site, and we're actually in production today, so our newspaper is going to drop tomorrow. So immediately, that's what we're focusing on. But I guess with the greater spirit of it, what we really want to do, and our whole news staff has had this mentality that despite, you know, who wins or what props are passed, we want to be able to hold, you know, those who we elected accountable.
Alexis Terrazas is editor-in-chief of El Tecolote. You can find their coverage and all our election coverage at klw.org.